Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Welcome to Forward Thinking.
Hey there, and welcome to Forward Thinking, the podcast that looks at the future and says, this was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Lauren Volkelbaum.
And I'm Joe McCormick. And it is such a big day for us here at Forward Thinking. This is probably the most exciting episode we've ever gotten to do.
Joe, this is a big day for the world.
For humanity.
Yeah, but especially for us because we talk about this kind of stuff. So all you people at home, as you probably know from the news reports, last night at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, the singularity arrived.
Yeah, I mean, who would have predicted, right?
I know.
2:14 in the morning. Yeah.
What an exciting time to be alive. So we decided to do sort of a brief explainer on the singularity's arrival and then look back at some of the predictions that singularity thinkers had made over the years and then even ourselves and just see how they stack up against the real thing now that it's here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems weird to talk about what is it since, you know, we're in it now, but clearly we do need to have this conversation to clear up what we thought it was going to be versus what it actually is.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta clear things up because I know a lot of people out there are excited, but confused. I mean, I was going down the street and all the garages, all the way down my street, the doors were just opening and closing. So clearly, that was sneezing. We now know that. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we had not made that connection between sneezing and automatic garage door openers. I understand there's going to be a patch for that, but we'll get to that.
Right. So what is the singularity, or at least what did we think it was before we got here?
So the way I always hear it explained is it's a moment in our technological development where we reach a point where there's some form of superhuman intelligence, whether that would have been from machine intelligence or a biological enhanced intelligence, whatever that means, we would get to a point where we would be so intelligent that the old versions of ourselves would be unable to describe what the present would be like moment to moment because it would be changing so quickly.
Right. It's this sudden, rapid advance in intelligence, usually thought of as artificial intelligence or machine intelligence, leading to extremely fast advances where our capabilities are basically, we can't even track them anymore.
Right. Like, remember when you used to say, I was going to the store and I bought a new computer and by the time I got it home and out of the box, it was obsolete? That is super slow compared to the time of the singularity.
Yeah, that's true of everything we do now.
So where did this idea first come from? Like, who was the first person to see that this was going to happen?
Oh, well, I do want to point out that we did a full episode on this that published back in April of 2014, back when time had real meaning.
Right, yeah. I recall that. Remember just doesn't seem like the right word now.
Right? But, you know, let's review just in case anyone is having a little bit of trouble accessing this particular information.
Mm-hmm. Excellent idea.
So John von Neumann coined the term singularity in 1958, by which he meant a point beyond which humanity as we know it will change.
Oh boy, was he right on that one, guys. Yeah. I mean, really.
The term technological singularity comes from the science fiction writer Werner Vinge in the early 1980s. He wrote this article for Omni magazine predicting that humanity would create superhuman intelligence that would transform our world in unthinkable ways, and soon, like by 2030, he said. And of course, Ray Kurzweil's book, The Singularity is Near, published in 2005, did a whole lot to popularize the idea. He even gave an even more generous date, 2045. But you can't get them all right, huh, Werner? Hey, Ray?
Yeah, it's crazy. So Ray Kurzweil, back in the day, he made so many technological predictions that came true. He was one of the great technology predictors. And the funny thing is, lots of people at the time criticized Ray Kurzweil for being too hasty and optimistic with his predictions. But
yeah,
it turns out, like
Ents to a Hobbit, people were criticizing him all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
an excellent comparison.
We now know he was being way too conservative.
Yeah, not hasty enough, as it turns out.
Yeah, so I think it surprised a lot of people that the singularity would arrive at the beginning of April 2015. Then again, this is the year of Back to the Future Part 2.
Right, and we did a full episode on that.
Yeah, and I just watched it inside my brain this morning several times.
Yeah.
It was Pretty cool.
I was doing that every time I was blinking. It took a while to find the actual feature to switch that from default. But that was probably because I never read the terms of service.
Yeah.
Sure.
So why were people such doubters back then?
Well, you know, people doubted our ability to build and program machines at the level of complexities that mirror our own, let alone to outdo ourselves.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. The human brain was thought of to be so complex that the machines we build would never really match up to that. Not in any foreseeable future. At least that was the thought.
Sure. Other people pointed out the inherent differences in the way that human minds work versus the way that computers process information.
Sure. And we know that they are pretty different, right?
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, not so different, as it turns out.
Yeah. I mean, that just shows, again, the limit of what we knew, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I never would have predicted that a hard power cycle on my brain would cure so many of my problems.
Yeah. Well, I kept on hoping you'd find that Control-Alt-Delete. And now you can.
People also argued about the role of emergence in intelligence and whether anything can really be greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm. Huh. Yeah, so like this idea of emergence in intelligence, where things add up and unexpected properties evolve from very complex systems.
Right, right. Where, you know, you never would have been able to predict that you would actually get this output from the input, because if you look at all the component parts, it seems like such output would be impossible. But as we now know, given the right amount of complexity, that is entirely possible.
You know, I have to admit, I was a singularity skeptic back in the day, and I fully admit now I was totally wrong. I never thought all this stuff would happen, that I would wake up with nanorobots doing stuff to my body. I mean, we can talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that I'm not allergic to onions anymore, you guys. It's been a beautiful morning full of onions.
Raw onions, eating them like apples.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I mean,
it was kind of a little crazy.
To you guys for that.
It's all right, because now that we have complete control of our olfactory system, I'm not detecting anything other than the sweet smell of peppermint.
Huh. You got that olfactory implant, huh?
Yeah.
The machines determined I wouldn't want one of those for me, so I didn't get one. But
gotcha.
Maybe I can like actually request one.
I'm sure you can. I hear there's like a lot of things on back order right now, but from what I understand, time has very little meaning these days, so you won't have to wait long.
Yeah, by back order, they probably mean in, you know, 7 or 8 nanoseconds.
Yeah, so you might actually already have it now.
No, I was a doubter too, and I have to apologize. You know, Ray, I already sent you like 40 emails, so you've probably gotten them, and I think that we really grok each other now. But I do have to personally apologize for the number of times on the show that I mockingly said 20 to 40 years is probably when it's going to happen.
Mm.
My face would be red if I blushed anymore.
Yeah,
but
that does seem to be an odd side effect. Was that intended or?
I used to do that like whole head blush.
Oh, I'm familiar.
And that scalp thing. Yeah, you should really think about that upgrade.
I didn't even think about that.
You didn't get the blood pressure control override?
No, I still blush. Like, you should have seen me when I was walking by the coffee machine today. It was a social faux pas.
It's so old fashioned. It's so quaint. It's cute.
Yeah,
you're
maybe
right.
I'll keep it just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah. Mm. But along with me, you know, some people were really, really harsh about this. Virtual reality pioneer Jaron Lanier even called it, and I quote, cybernetic totalism, and said that it was a fanatic ideology along the lines of Marxism, in that it denied scientific skepticism and stoked the computer science industry's ego with these inflated views of their own importance to the future of humanity.
Right. This idea that somehow this small niche science was going to end up totally transforming what we as a species are all about. That did seem like it was, you know, a pretty outlandish prediction. Of course, we all have to eat our words now.
Yeah, well, now that the singularity has occurred, let's take a look back and explain what actually happened to kick it into place. I thought this was interesting. It turns out that the first superhuman AI that came online last night, it was created by a team at the Ersatz Mentation Lab of Baltar University.
Mm-hmm.
And that was led by a guy we've talked about on the show before, Dr. Hal Spatzo in the Department of Ultron Studies. He's actually really cool if you see any videos of interviews with him.
Yeah.
He's got this very sonorous, commanding voice. And
it is kind of odd, though. His appearance can change dramatically from one video to the next. So it's possible that you've seen a video of this guy and not recognized him because his appearance can change so much between appearances.
Yeah, but what is it that actually happened?
Well, there was a couple of phases of this, the first phase of which was the integration of machine intelligence with our own to create superhuman intelligence. It turned out to be much simpler than we anticipated. Like Lauren was saying, we had worried that artificial networks and biological material operated so differently that there'd be compatibility issues that we would have to work out for decades before this could ever become a reality. But as it turns out, if you just pull out the circuit board for an Atari 5200, not an Atari 2600.
Yeah, we cannot stress that enough.
No, we're playing in the big leagues now.
Yeah, you don't want to know what happens if you substitute it. No, but an Atari 5200, and you wire that to your cerebral cortex, you have to use a headset from this toy called MindFlex. That was the one that had a little headset. You would wear it, and you would concentrate really hard and move essentially a little ping pong ball-like thing through a maze just using your thoughts.
Who knew this would change the world?
Yeah, no one had really experimented with this particular combination until Dr. Spatzo had really hit upon the nub of it. But it turns out that if you do that, you can actually merge machine and human intelligence together, which is what happened to all of us last night. Well, a lot of us anyway. Maybe you too, dear listener. It was a super secret operation that happened while most of us were sleeping.
People sleep at 2 a.m?
Well, that's the thing, is that not all of us were.
It depends on your time zone. If you were asleep when the nanorobots arrived at your house, if you were awake, they would just be nice and move on to the next house.
Right, right. So, I can tell you that those of us who were conscious during this machine intelligence conversion can report that it did tingle, and we detected some strange odors, peppermint in my case, which is why I had that olfactory thing put in, so that it was just a pleasant experience. But I understand other people had different smells, like espresso. And
mine was more like jasmine.
Oh, excellent. All right. That's a very nice soothing smell. And so, also we can all play River Raid in our minds whenever we want to.
Yeah.
I've gotten pretty good. Although there's like this one bridge that when I get to it, time is nearly out and I haven't figured that part out yet, but I am sure that I will get through it before the end of the day.
How did you get River Raid? I just got Pitfall and that Texas Chainsaw Massacre game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Golly. Well, I
didn't ask for it.
To be fair, I did live through the era of River Raid, so perhaps it was given preferential treatment for the people who were actually alive when the games came out the first time.
Yeah. Do I get to keep making fun of you for being old anymore?
I mean, you could,
since
but it really age sort of doesn't
immortal,
mean anything.
So,
yeah. No. Now, this was, of course, the first step. Joe, you were talking about
there are downsides to the singularity. Sorry, go ahead. Yes.
You were talking about the cyber nanosurgery, which followed in the second wave.
Sure, yeah. Well, the machine intelligence integration, that was just the first step.
Yeah.
We had to get a lot of implants, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, you want your specific implants to upgrade particular parts of your brain, all your particular brain organs. And then, of course, the organs of your body. You want these bionic implants for strength enhancement and so forth. So it was kind of cool waking up a cyborg when I didn't expect to. And frankly, I had always imagined I'd have to pay lots of money and go in for multiple surgeries to get all these brain implants and bionic strength enhancements. But according to reports, it was actually at about 4 a.m. last night that the Overmind solved world scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And by dawn, it had eliminated money, automated mass production of all the material goods to, you know, match projected demand. And the overnight nanosurgical implantation of all these cool gadgets was sort of just a bonus for the people who slept in today. I read this morning that all of the early risers who were already awake at the time the nanorobots made their house calls, they're going to get their implants tonight. So that's kind of a bummer for them. But then again, they're going to get all the newer models, and I'm going to be stuck with these old pieces of junk from last night.
Right. And one of the issues that those of us who were asleep are now encountering is that we are technically early adopters. And sometimes when you are an early adopter, the technology works in ways that were unintended or perhaps doesn't work in the proper way.
Well,
or
you
there's
know, it's always the beta.
Exactly. I've discovered this my own. We saw the sneezing in garage doors. That was an issue. I've also discovered that if I press the unlock function on my key fob, which technically I don't even need to use now, it's just kind of a habit.
Yeah.
Since I could just think about the car being unlocked and it is. But if I press that button, it causes me to experience the films Leprechaun, Leprechaun 4 in space, and Leprechaun Back to the Hood within the span of 5 milliseconds. But none of the others in the series.
It knows your needs better than you do, John.
Yeah, that's really the thing. I mean, now you have everything that you need, including Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Yeah, what's interesting is I did press that button like 17 more times after I found out what it was doing.
What did I tell you?
Yeah. That's a personal issue, though. We can go into other things.
You know, another thing I did not anticipate, though, and this might be one of my only gripes, is the near crippling effect of constant software updates.
All right.
I mean, I can barely use my computer these days. I mean, sure, it is faster than ever, and it has the wisdom of 1,000 sages, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. But every single time you log on, I'm sure you all have experienced this, it's barely 90 seconds before it's downloading OS updates and software patches, and then it's going to force me to do a restart again. Mm-hmm. I can't restart my computer that often and get work done. It's really annoying. I used to have that remind me in 1 hour option, but now every time I try to select that, my cochlear implant whispers this overwhelmingly persuasive argument that I should just go ahead and go with the update. Every single time, it changes my mind.
The drones, in order to help out people who did not receive their personal implants last night, are delivering new computers in waves, you know. So they're delivering them to people who haven't received those implants first, and you'll get yours as soon as everyone else's cybernetics are taken care of.
That cochlear implant sounds really interesting. Mine was an eye ear. So I just end up buying lots of Apple products. I still use a Windows-based PC, but I got one of the future ones. It actually has been updating 5 minutes from now ever since I got it. So it's kind of odd that I'm getting updates before the update is issued. In fact,
I heard they did so many versions they ran out of natural numbers.
Yeah, we ran out of numbers that we just couldn't have any numbers high enough to describe the Windows, so we had to create.
I didn't even realize that would happen, that we'd run out of numbers.
It turns out that if you go long enough, you do run out. So we had to start inventing new numbers. That's why I am currently on Windows 3V. It's the version I'm running right now.
Yeah, that's the number right after Niven.
Exactly. It goes Niven, then Threve. We haven't all decided exactly what the next number is going to be, but I have high hopes that by the time this podcast is over and we can all reconnect to the Overmind, I will be updated to that point.
You know, another gripe is all the robots. I mean, there's so many, I'm kind of bumping into them a lot.
Yeah, it turns out that automation of mass production also meant a huge explosion in robot production. I, for one, did see the robot invasion coming from a mile away, but that's because we all have remote sensing technologies at our disposal now.
Right.
And in fact, as many of you will be aware, a mile long detection radius is actually myopic. So I will be having laser surgery to improve my sensors.
Oh, good, after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dave, I don't know about you. You can download a patch so that you don't have a sense of personal space anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
That does help. Yeah. It certainly helps whenever I am being transported by robot to work now. In fact, it's to a point where there's just a swarm of them that cover me and carry me bodily straight to work. I will also say that I did not anticipate the Roomba cavalry early this morning. I didn't think that was going to be a thing. Clearly, the robots were making use of any systems that they had available to them. They really swept up the resistance quite handily. Have not yet been forbidden, but I hear that's on the table too. Now I did hear there was one unit that just ended up bumping into the corner repeatedly. So again, you know, we're still working out the bugs.
Even the singularity cannot fix everything.
Right.
You know, another thing that I have thought we should do is that now that the machines have invented time travel, we should actually do a next episode from the future so we can sort of deliver a special investigative report from 2072 or whenever we want.
I, in fact, have a message from 2072 right now.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I thought that would be a great great way to kind of wrap up this entire discussion. So the report from 2072 definitively answers a question that has been of great import over the last several years on the internet. It turns out it's pronounced neither GIF nor JIF, but BIF.
Oh.
Now this is weird because it brings us back to Back to the Future 2 Part 2, that episode we did a while back. We actually anticipated this, not knowingly. It had been implanted into our brains from the future. And if you go back and listen to that episode, you will find the coded message about BIF being the proper pronunciation. It's right there in the episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we weren't even aware of it at the time.
I wish I had time traveled this morning. I just had too much email to get through.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, in my case, all I did was put in a Google future search. So it just came back to me. I haven't actually been to 2072 yet.
Okay, well, hold on a sec. I'm going to go time travel real quick, and then I'll come back and let you know. Let's just try the year 2166.
All right, that sounds interesting.
Okay, cool.
Wow. That was amazing.
Joe, you look different.
Yeah, so in 2166, there are only robots and super intelligent apes left, and I don't look good with that much body hair, so I had to join the Robot Legion.
Okay, fair enough.
Makes sense.
But, you know, I don't really mind it. Like, I'm so shiny now. I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fantastic news for you, Joe.
The other thing now is that as a robot, I'm no longer driven by an insatiable lust for power and immortality the way I was as an organic human.
Wow, I'm learning a lot more about Joe.
We always meant to say something to you about that. The obsession you had with that axe was kind of weird.
Now I can really focus on the things that matter, like gardening and like machine meditation. And I discovered a new love for kite flying. Have you ever actually flown a kite?
I mean, not since I was a kid, but
yeah, me neither.
You know,
it's beautiful.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's excellent things to know. Joe, thank you for taking that upon yourself. I think we all look forward to seeing 2166 as soon as this episode is over.
Yeah, I'm going to go too.
I also think anyone who doesn't embrace the singularity this April is being something of a fool.
I would agree. They are being a fool.
In April.
An absolute April fool.
Yes, indeed. And with that, it is time for us to sign off. However, of course, we're going to have plenty to talk about in the future since it is arriving so very quickly now. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for future episodes of Forward Thinking. And of course, if you have an idea for an episode, you should get in touch with us.
We are backwards compatible, so you can still access some of those antiquated systems in case your uploads are blocked by all of the video games that I'm uploading to.
I also have a lot of ad block software running in my brain constantly, so sometimes it catches things that it shouldn't.
Yes.
So if you want to make sure you get a message to us, send it the legacy way through email. Our address is fwthinking@howstuffworks.com, or drop us a line on one of those social platforms we all were crazy about yesterday. Seems like an eternity ago. That would be Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. We are FWThinking at Twitter and Google Plus. Just search FWThinking in Facebook. We'll pop right up, and we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this topic and the future of technology, visit forwardthinking.com. Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.